This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
But I don't want to waste any more of his time. He joins us live from Lynchburg, where he is a cardiologist, and he is the newly elected president of the Medical Society of Virginia. Dr. Dan Carey joins me on the long line. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Coy, for having me today, and I'm really looking forward to sharing some ideas with your listeners.
Absolutely. Dan, of course, we want to put in the plug. He's a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, class of 2007 at the University of Virginia. And Dan, let's just start with this. I'm always curious, as I sit and listen to the news and watch the news, read the news about the healthcare debate, and this side says this, and they said that, and I'm always curious what the people who really should know, what they are thinking, and that's you. That's somebody like you who every day you're in the trenches in healthcare in America, you're seeing patients, you're filling out paperwork, you're dealing with this insurance company and that insurance company. And I mean, if anybody should know exactly what's going on and what we should do to fix this, it's a physician like yourself. And I'm curious what goes through your mind as you're watching this debate take shape.
Right. Well, that's a great question, and I think that the practicing physicians, whether they're in Charlottesville at UVA or in private practice or in employed situations with the big health systems in Virginia, I think all of us who are practicing have a very clear idea of a number of the problems and a number of the great assets that we have in our health system or our health sector, at least, you know, in Virginia and throughout the United States. And I think we do have a sense of where we need to go. I think it is a little daunting. You know, I have not read the 2,000-page bill in the Senate, the 2,000-page bill in the House. I've read summaries that have been put out by the American Medical Association and also in the press. So I feel I'm schooled in it, but it is a bit of a daunting task. And I think from the outset, it's important to kind of split things up. I think when you think about the health system reform, you really need to think about, well, what is really, what's the difference between health insurance reforms that are really reforming how health insurance plays out and how it's regulated and how it's available to individuals. And then you need to think about, well, there's health financing. There's a crisis of healthcare financing, whether it's in Medicaid at the state level or Medicare in the long term at the national level. And those are separate issues. So there's health insurance issues. There's healthcare finance issues. And then there's the availability of healthcare. And then there's the issue of how health is determined in our culture. There's behaviors of whether it's smoking or driving, recklessly without a seatbelt or when using alcohol. There's obesity issues. So it is indeed a very daunting task. And I think the important thing, at least for me as a practicing physician, and I think for your listeners to remember, is that it's not all one topic. You've got to split it up, even though it's talked about as if it's one thing. It's actually a number of facets that need to be thought about differently. Because I think if you lump it together, it's just overwhelming and hard to think through.
Yeah. We're talking with Dan Carey. He's a cardiologist down in Lynchburg and the newly elected president of the Medical Society of Virginia, and we're honored to have him here on the program. Dan, what are your thoughts on the whole debate around the public option where the government would provide some type of insurance that you could, if you wanted to, you could opt into that, or you could just stay with your own provider if you wanted to as well. Based upon what you see every day, what are some of the important things in that debate that you think we need to be thinking about?
Right. I think that is an important issue. The first thing we need to understand is that when you talk about the public option, there's this philosophical level. Should the government be involved with healthcare? But I tell you, whether you're a hospital administrator or you're a practicing doctor in the trenches, you know that the government is already there. Between federal employees, military, retirees, the VA, SCHIP for kids, federal employees, I may have mentioned that, the federal government is already paying for greater than 50% of those with insurance in this country. So this is not a new thing to have the federal government involved with healthcare. They're already the majority payer. I didn't mention the federal aspect of Medicaid, a state plan, or with Medicare itself. So doctors are used to dealing with the government already. And frankly, we don't like being bullied by the government. We don't like being bullied by Anthem or any of the private health insurers that have near monopoly power. And in my area, Anthem has, you know, 70% of the private insurance market, and that it's very difficult to negotiate, you know, rates and fair business practices when you're dealing with, you know, a big dominant player. And when you're in some states like Alabama, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Alabama has 95% of the private insurance market. So the idea of having competition, whether it's between private insurance companies, for example, by allowing them to compete across state lines, or by having a public option, I think most physicians are open to that idea in general. But the devil's is always in the details. And I think the practical question of the public option is whether those rates are going to be negotiated, because I don't think the public really understand that both for hospitals and for doctors in practice, that essentially, from the business perspective, money is lost when you're talking about Medicare patients, and that they make it up, we make it up through the private insurance plan. So the big question for the public option is what the rates are going to be and whether they can be negotiated. If it's simply going to come in at Medicare, most of the hospitals in Virginia will go out of business within 6 months. So, because they are subsidizing the costs that aren't paid by the federal, you know, reimbursement rates, they are making up for that with higher than needed, in a way. You know, they cross-subsidize from the private plans to pay for what's not paid in the public plans, including Medicare. And physicians' offices do that as well. And I think the big question, if everybody went from Anthem or other private insurance, you know, Optima Health, and there's a number of plans in different areas of Virginia, although there tend to be a dominant player like Anthem in most markets, that it's all about, with the public plan, are the rates negotiated? Is it self-supporting? Because it can't be fairly competed with if it's constantly subsidized, like Amtrak, for example, dollars outside the system. It has to be self-supporting. You have to have negotiated rates that allow for a sustainable business model, whether you're a doctor in practice or whether you're a health system like UVA Health System, like Martha Jefferson, like Centra in my area. So I think at the political level, it is a political and philosophical debate. With doctors and health systems, it's really about a sustainable business model. So I think that's something that, you know, the public often doesn't get, is that because the federal government is already there in terms of being the dominant payer, that it's all about the practicalities of sustainability of the business model of our patients having access to the hospitals, access to their doctor, which they will not if the public plan comes in and is not at a competitive reimbursement rate. So I think that's something that your listeners want to know, is that for physicians, It is not nearly as philosophical as or political as it is practical.
Yeah, it's a business.
At some point, whether you're a hospital or whether you're a doctor in an office, you've got your own health insurance of yourself, your employees. You've got your costs, your medical malpractice insurance. You've got all of these costs, and if your reimbursement is below water, that is, it's below the sustainable level, then, you know, you go out of business and you can't see those sorts of patients. So from a person who cares about access, and physicians of Virginia very much care about access to care for the patients of Virginia, you've got to make sure that it's a model that's sustainable. And if it's not sustainable, it's going to mean doctors aren't there when patients need them.
We're talking with cardiologist Dan Carey of Lynchburg. He's the newly elected president of the Medical Society of Virginia. Dan, talk for a minute about something that that I've heard you say in the past that really is not understood very well by most Americans, and that's defensive medicine. This gets to how medicine is actually practiced in this country Tell us what it is and why it's a problem and how we can fix this.
Right. Well, I think, you know, people think about, well, there's, you know, if they're, a patient has problem A, you know, I was in the office and saw a number of patients and saw a variety of folks with chest pain and non-healing ulcers of the foot that we need to improve circulation to heal the foot, for example. That, you know, patients come in with a problem, and there's a cookbook solution, and it involves ordering test A, test B, but not test C, D, and E. And it's not like that, in that we have, you know, we use judgment, we use our experience to evaluate patients and try to affect a very good outcome. There is a lot of discretion there, and the medical malpractice environment in the U.S. is very different than it is in other countries, and whether it's through our training, you know, I trained in Boston and San Francisco and Atlanta and have been in practice here for almost 13 years, it really hasn't been any different in those locations, that you not only have to do what's right for your patient, but you also have to be mindful that if you don't have a bulletproof chart, that if there's a bad outcome and despite efforts of good communication and the best possible care, there's an angry family that seeks to sue you for that bad outcome, unless you've really created a chart that not any reasonable doubt, but really any conceivable doubt that everything was done, you have to make sure that that's in place. And that is something, again, it's not necessarily bad medicine, it's overly thorough medicine. And I think that in our country, that with tort law the way it is, and with the access to, you know, being able to sue without, you know, very little barrier to that, the doctors in the United States overorder whether they want to or not. In order, you know, because if you do get sued successfully, regardless of the merits of the case, once it goes to a jury, there's a lot of things that happen there that are not, you know, that the doctor can't control. And studies have shown that often the patients that doctors who are sued are not the right ones to get sued. And when they're, you know, based on expert panels and independent review, and once you get into the tort system, a lot of awards can occur that really aren't justified. So you've got to bulletproof your chart, and that leads to more testing. And I think in this country, unless we move towards, you know, tort reform and limiting how bad outcomes are adjudicated, that we're going to continue to have overordering of tests. And I think your listeners want to know, what do I mean by defensive medicine? Defensive medicine is the difference between what an average doctor would order for himself or herself compared to what they're going to order for someone that they don't know in the emergency room. That is, you're going to be overly cautious. You're going to overorder, not because you don't have principles, but because in a very practical way, we know that, you know, the average doctor is sued every 3 or 4 years, regardless of the quality of care. And that's a very emotionally charged environment, and it's very uncomfortable, and it leads to very expensive or unavailable malpractice insurance. So I think that's something that certainly we at MSV are very much in favor of. Now, we do have a cap on total awards of $2 million in Virginia, and I think we need to keep that intact, and we're very, very supportive of that as we look forward to the General Assembly, and I think it's a very good thing in Virginia. But we also are very open to much, much more creative ways of encouraging doctors to do the best that they do for themselves, but don't feel like you have to order an extra test or two or three layers to make sure that if a bad outcome occurs, that you're prepared for that grilling that's going to occur, you know, in the tort,
yeah,
the tort
yeah.
system.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Carey of Lynchburg. And Dan, I would imagine that if we can make some progress in this area, that the system could, we're talking about tens of billions of dollars here that could be saved from all these tests that are being run and paid for that don't necessarily have to be done.
Right, and that is in the, you know, the GAO report estimated somewhere between 50 and 80 billion with a B, billion dollars a year. And again, it's such a different environment in the U.S. compared to Western Europe, compared to Australia, New Zealand, and other developed countries, that I think that is one of the places that we, you know, that we really can develop, that, you know, really can lead to great savings. And you know, President Obama, in his speech to the MA this summer, mentioned the idea of safe harbor for following expert guidelines, but we really haven't heard the details of that. So I think there are some options in addition to caps on awards, caps on pain and suffering awards, but also there's health courts that people have talked about, and there's money in the House bill, for example, for pilots, and we think those are all good things. But it's got to lead to doctors making decisions based on individual patients, not because they're afraid of what's going to happen if there is about bad outcomes. There are always bad outcomes in medicine, despite doing the right thing, that you can't put your career on the line, you know, every case, which is what the environment is in the U.S. And I think that's got to change. And I think that truly is an incredible reservoir of savings that we're not that are not part of the national debate. And I think that's a real shame.
We're talking with cardiologist Dan Carey of Lynchburg. He's the newly elected president of the Medical Society of Virginia. Dan, we got a couple of minutes left. I'm just curious, any other particular issues that you want to put a spotlight on or do you think we need to be paying close attention to or perhaps just something that you or the society would like to see in a final package that that comes down the pike?
Well, I think our approach, again, the doctors of Virginia, both through MSV and through their national specialty societies and through the AMA, are very engaged in this discussion. And you know, you can't go to an academic meeting, you can't go to a lecture, you can't go to a meeting of a medical staff without having health system reform and all the details that we've been talking about. So we want to be very engaged, and our approach has been to outline those elements that we really support and those elements of health system reform that are parts of the different bills that give us pause. The parts that we really support are portability for individual patients for their health insurance. We need to carry, we need to cover everybody, and there's no question about that. We need to eliminate pre-existing conditions, and those are part of both the Senate and the House bill, and I think those are very good things. I think we do have pause about a public option that's put forward that's not self-sustainable and it does not have negotiated rates. I think the fact that tort reform has not been part of the debate and it's kind of the third rail, unfortunately, in discussion is real shame because I think that's where one of the great source of savings is going to be long-term. I think in Virginia, we need to know that we're heading for a huge budget battle. This is the most difficult budget battle and budget environment in Virginia, perhaps in more than a generation, probably 50 or 60 years. Medicaid is one of the biggest sources of, K through 12 education and Medicaid are the two biggest, you know, line items in the state budget. And Medicaid is a state plan for care of the poor. And we're already 48th or so in per capita spending compared to per capita income. And that's, you know, some would say that's great, that's so frugal. Those of us in the trenches trying to care for patients realize that that's, you know, I'm not sure you want to be 48th in any category and across the country. And I think that's going to be a battleground. And I think, again, the physicians of Virginia want to be there caring for this, you know, very vulnerable group of patients. But if you cut that further, they're just not going to be access to the care that they need, and it's going to affect dramatically the hospitals as well in terms of their ability to care for that group of patients. So I think that Medicaid funding and the budget battle at the state level, you know, when the General Assembly session comes in January and when the Governor Kane submits his budget, I think on the 18th of December, that's going to be a very important thing. I think we're going to have to stand up and make sure in Virginia that we don't make this a priority already. We can't cut it further. So that's a big deal. And I think I've already mentioned that priority in Virginia that we very much see the cap at $2 million. It addresses almost all the suits that are brought in Virginia. Very few suits are settled or awarded at greater than $1.5 million. So we think it serves Virginia citizens well. We're still open for more creative ways to lead to less defensive medicine, but let's not make the system worse, you know, in the coming years while we're trying to figure out what that better system would be. So those are our priorities, and that's what we'll be working towards, both in influencing our federal delegation at the Senate and the House level, and also working with the the delegates and the senators at the state level. So those are our priorities going forward.
Dan Carey, he's a cardiologist in Lynchburg and the president of the Medical Society of Virginia. Dan, look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a great discussion. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.